I don't watch very many movies, but I think I've mentioned to you before one of my all-time favorite ones. My all-time favorite movie is Casablanca. Many people don't realize this, but it was actually released during World War II when the outcome of the war was still not certain. And this movie, with that tension, it gives a slice of life during wartime, and particularly how love and friendship interact with and sometimes interfere with doing the right thing. In this case, the right thing is resisting the Nazis. The film stars Humphrey Bogart as Rick, a former champion of the underdog that is tired of fighting, and Ingrid Bergman as Ilsa, a young idealist. But years before the start of the film, Rick and Ilsa had a romantic encounter in France. But now Rick is living in Casablanca, running, as he puts it, a gin joint, and Ingrid is involved with one Victor Laszlo, a man who is extremely influential in the resistance against the Nazis. And through cosmic fate, Ingrid finds herself in Rick's gin joint. And their romance is reignited, and Ilsa contemplates leaving Laszlo to be with Rick. And generally, I try not to give away the ends of movies, but this film is 74 years old, so I think I'm going to go ahead and make an exception. If you haven't seen it, go out and watch it this afternoon. In one of the most emotional scenes in all of cinema, Rick convinces Ilsa that for the good of the resistance, they must split. Ilsa has to go with Laszlo, and Rick has to stay in Casablanca. At the airport, where Ilsa is supposed to join Laszlo, but is still contemplating staying with Rick, Rick has this to say. He says, "We both know you belong with Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And for the rest of your life." Forgive me, I don't do a good Bogart. And later he reiterates that Ilsa has a job to do too. For the good of the world, she must help Laszlo with the resistance. And Rick, for his part, has a job too. Seeing Ilsa again has reignited the fight in him, but his fight is in Casablanca. It's a heartbreaking scene where two people go their separate ways, knowing that in all likelihood they will never see each other again, but also knowing that it is the right thing to do because they can do more good apart than they can together. The Bible is full of scenes like this too. When God led Abram, who would later become Abraham, to the land, he made many stops on the way, and one place that he ended up was in Egypt. But as he and his family left Egypt and headed toward what would become home, they realized that they had a problem. You see, there were a lot of people with them because Abram had brought his nephew Lot and all of Lot's workers with him on his journeys. And Abram and Lot began to realize that their people, their workers, were not always getting along. And it's interesting to note that Abram and Lot themselves got along fine, but the land simply could not sustain both Abram's and Lot's people. And so they made a difficult choice. Abram says to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me." What a beautiful thing to say. "Let there be no strife between you and me. Separate yourself from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And not knowing if they would ever see their family again, Lot went east and Abram went west. It might not be quite as quotable as "Here's looking at you, kid," but it is the same basic principle. God had plans for both Abram and Lot. And just like Ilsa and Rick, those plans involved them parting ways. A similar thing happened in the early church. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, everyone was filled with excitement. The kingdom of God was dawning. But as the days turned into weeks and weeks into years, the early Christ followers began to realize that even as exciting as this good news was, they had on their hands an administrative nightmare. There was huge debate as to what they should do with this new good news. It was great and all that Jesus had died for their sins and broken open the gates of hell with his resurrection and ascended to his throne beside the Father. But what do they do now? Many of the Jewish authorities hated this new interpretation of Judaism, and many of the Roman authorities saw it as a threat to their political power, and this caused quite a bit of strife within the early church. But even more than that, for the early church, the most complicated and convoluted debate revolved around the question of the Gentiles. Jesus had made it clear that his personal mission was first and foremost to the Jews. But as we read in our gospel passage today, one of his last acts before ascending to heaven was to charge his disciples to go to the ends of the earth, teaching everyone this new good news. And that included the Gentiles, the non-Jews. But the question remained in this largely Jewish group of Christ followers: how do we convert the Gentiles? And the big issue there was, do the Gentile believers need to convert to Judaism in order to become followers of Christ? On the one hand, some Jews pointed out that Jesus himself was a Jew, and he had come to a Jewish population in a Jewish context, and they believed that that meant that the Gentiles needed to follow Jewish custom. But the Apostle Paul convincingly argued that part of what Jesus had done was level the playing field, opening the door to the Gentiles regardless of their relationship with Judaism. And at the end of the day, Paul was convincing, and it opened the door to a successful attempt to convert many Gentiles all around the Mediterranean. But it also meant that the early church had a new mission. Or rather, it gave them a way to do that mission that Jesus had given them, to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. And that was great, except for one thing. As they tried to spread Jesus' message geographically, it meant that they had to part ways. Our Acts passage picks up right after this decision was made. And at this point, Peter is elsewhere, and some of the group heads off one way while Paul and Barnabas remain in Antioch. And then later in the chapter, Paul and Barnabas split ways too, heading off in different directions. Some of these folks later would run into each other again, but for some of them, this was their last gathering, and that is because they are being called to different things. For instance, God calls Paul to the Gentiles. That is his ministry. He sought to explain the gospel in terms that non-Jews would understand. On the other hand, Peter is called to the Jews. God asked him to explain the gospel in a way that a Jewish audience would understand. And folks like Barnabas and some of these other more minor characters were all likewise called to different places to do the work of God. And that meant that they had to leave each other. They are parting ways, but they are parting ways in order to spread the kingdom of God. Today we find ourselves in a similar position. I know that it may come as a shock for you. I know many of you were probably surprised by the letter that you received, and I am sorry for that. But it has become clear that God is calling Bethel and myself to different ministries. And I need to be clear, that does not mean that either of us are not doing God's will. But like Peter and Paul, like Abram and Lot, like Paul and Barnabas, and even for that matter, like Ilsa and Rick, we are being given different ministry missions. I believe in my heart that God called us together for these last 2.5 years. But it is also clear that He is calling each of us to new and exciting ministries. And that means that we both stand at a crossroads as we seek to listen to God and ask what those new and exciting ministries are. And I want to encourage you in your journey forward. Our gospel lesson has Jesus instructing us to spread the good news everywhere, to the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem to Rome to the Shenandoah Valley. I am heading elsewhere, but your ministry is here in this part of the world. And as you stand at this crossroads, I encourage you to ask God what ministry He is calling you to. What does God want from Bethel in this time and place? What does God want from each of you in the here and now? That is a question that I cannot answer for you, but I encourage you to seriously contemplate it. Do not ask what you want, but rather, through prayer and studying of the Word of God, ask what God wants for Bethel. And finally, I want to leave you with one last thing. The amazing thing about that movie, Casablanca, is this. Like Abram and Lot, Rick and Ilsa love each other. But even in their love, they know that what is best for everyone and what is best for their mission against the Nazis is for them to go their separate ways. I love you all, each and every one of you. And I hope that you know that. But for the mission of God, it is now time for us two to go our separate ways. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.